join with us now in worship as we stand together and sing "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day."
Play. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, what a glorious night it was in Bethlehem so many years ago when you came out of heaven above and came to earth beneath, manifest in the flesh, to live, to suffer, that we might have everlasting life. Oh, Lord, I pray today that this service, that, Lord, we might know the Savior as Mary knew the Savior, that they might understand what she understood in the baby that she held. Lord, speak to us now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. I'm Jennifer Bassham, and these are my girls, Nadia and Natalie. And we're going to sing Mary, Did You Know? And I just want to tell you that these two little girls, this one has learned a solo for the choir's Christmas cantata. They both learned their parts for tonight's kids' Christmas play, and they learned the song all this month. So I'm pretty proud of them.
Did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby...
Sorry, that's the demo. Original key, please. Thank you.
Appreciate that very much. What a great song that is, to imagine the wonder of Mary. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to talk about this story of Mary getting the announcement, the prophetic announcement, that she was to be the carrier of the Christ child. You know, there's lots of things about the Christmas story that are wonderful, and they all surround the prophetic message of their coming. You realize the Jewish people, Israel, was waiting over 700 years that was the furthest back that we know of prophecy happening, where they were looking for a Messiah, as the prophets talked about one that would come and he would usher in peace to them, and he would bring prosperity to them, and they would live in a land flowing with milk and honey. This was an oppressed people, a people who were discouraged, who had no hope, who had been in bondage all of their lives. And today, unless we understand the bondage that we are in sin, we miss the idea of what they were going through. Folks, today, unless we understand that we struggle against the curse of the bondage of sin in this life, we can in no way understand the wonderful Savior that the Jews understood. Today, if sin's just a part of our lives and we think, hey, that's the way everybody is, and we don't see it as the struggle, then it diminishes the value of our Savior to us. You remember Jesus told a story of a woman who came into Simon's house at the end of his ministry, and she knelt down and she began to weep and she began to wash his feet. And the men that were in the room with Jesus began to have thoughts, and Jesus could hear their thoughts. God had given him that, left that power of discernment in him, and he could hear them say, if this man knew who it was that touched him, who washed his feet, then he would know that she is a sinner. And Jesus responded to them like this: who has been forgiven much, they love much. That house was full of sinners, not just one. Amen? They were everyone in need of a Savior, and yet only one brought the most precious thing that she had and broke it at the feet of Jesus and began to weep because of what her own sin, the recognition of her own sin in her life, had destroyed her. And she realized, I cannot overcome it. I can't win. I always am going to battle this thing of sin. And this man, this one they call Jesus, he did something that no one else has been able to do. Folks, today, unless we understand our sin takes us to that place, we will never understand what Mary understood. Now, I want you to know something. Mary was probably only about 14 years of age. We don't know exactly. She might have been 16. She might have been 12. But she was a young woman in that day, and she was a righteous woman. The Bible says that Mary found favor with God, so much so that Gabriel, the angel, came to her and said, you are the highly favored one. It's kind of like somebody walking up to you and saying, Your Majesty or Your Highness. And you would say, whoa, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? There's nothing special about me. The Gabriel angel, an angel of God, came to her and said, you are the highly favored one. And she says, what does that mean? What do you mean by that? Look with me. Luke chapter 1, beginning verse 28. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now we're going to come back to some of this, but God sent the angel to Galilee of Nazareth, especially to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Now, Mary was a young girl. She was a virgin. She was betrothed or engaged to be married. That had a lot more wampum. That's an Oklahoma term there. Had a lot more impact than it does today for you to be engaged. As a matter of fact, the common thing I hear in marriages today is, when I talk to young people, I always ask them, what's the plan? What's the strategy if you have trouble in your marriage? Now, this is before they're married. And the most common answer I get is this: well, if it doesn't work out, I guess we can always just divorce. and find somebody else. Well, in this day, that would have been an abomination. I can't even describe for you what it would have been like. For a young woman to have said that or thought that, her fiancé would have left her. Said, no. No, that's not how this works. This is a binding covenant relationship. Her and Joseph were to be married. They were very close in a very strict, in a very fundamental society. And for Mary to show up pregnant, betrothed to Joseph, no matter who the father was, would have been absolute and total disgrace for not only her and her family, but Joseph and his family. And tradition, they would have severed that relationship. Joseph, even if it was his own child, they would have said no. And yet, Joseph, wish I had time to preach a little message on Joseph. Joseph was the man who stood by Mary's side in the midst of all that happened. Now, we won't get to it today, but God sent an angel to Joseph also, remember. He wasn't just totally in the dark. But on this day, the angel came to Mary, a virgin. And having come, verse 28, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Rejoice. "For the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, theologians disagree at this point some whether or not they believe Mary knew that she was pregnant, or had she become pregnant, or was she pregnant at this time. Now, I have nothing that indicates to me in Scripture that she would be pregnant at this time. So, I don't think she was. But I don't have a problem if you think she was. You know, it's all right. I can't prove she was. You can't prove she wasn't. So just pick you a spot. It doesn't matter, because here's the point of what's been said. God, in my life, in my understanding, in my interpretation of Scripture, she is fixing to hear for the very first time, "You are the highly favored one of God," so favored that the messianic promise is going to come to you. Now today, we can't even begin to fathom what that meant. That was the most unbelievable announcement that could have been made. Did she understand all the ramifications? No. What she did understand is that she was a godly woman who had committed her life to the Lord in such a way that she got the attention of the Heavenly Father. And this angel comes to her and say, "Rejoice." He's telling her, "I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy. Rejoice." And verse 28, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was." What are you saying? What do you mean? What's happening? Verse 30, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.'" Sounds to me like that hadn't happened yet, but, you know, English is a poor translation for what we have in Scripture. But it sounds to me like she's just now learning. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." If she had any question up to that point who she was bearing, that answered it. For the one that would take the throne of David and reign forever was the Messiah. She would have understood that. She would have understood it. I imagine she fell to her knees, to her face. Then the angel said, or then Mary said to her, "How can this be? I do not know a man." How can this be? I've never been with a man. How is this miracle going to happen that I'm going to have a child? Now, if you're a 14-year-old girl who had never been with a man, that's a that's a pretty realistic question. What's going to happen? Lord, what do you mean? I have worked hard at being the godly woman that you would have me to be. How is this going to happen? 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will also be called not just the Son of Man, but the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. Remember John. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Remember what he called her? Look at what she calls herself. The maidservant of the Lord. And here is some of the most wonderful words in all of Scripture. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. You know what made Mary so special? She was willing to live her life in complete and utter surrender to the obedience of her heavenly Father. Folks, listen to me. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what every Christian is supposed to do. And here's a young 14-year-old Jewish girl who is following the law, being obedient to the Heavenly Father, has prayed her entire life. She's fallen before Him. She's kept herself pure for the glory of God. And God said, I noticed. Young women, listen to me. Listen to me. God is watching. Young men, listen to me. God is watching. When no one else is there, when no one else is around, God is there. And when we choose to do that which is obedient to God, listen to me, kids, He notices. He chose a 14-year-old girl to do what I believe is one of the most significant events in all of human history. Kids, your spiritual life does matter. God notices. You change. He has favor. He discovers what's going on in your life. And the commitment to follow Him, to be obedient to Him, happens years before God begins to fulfill His promises out in you. Don't let anyone ever discourage you. Don't let any friend tell you, it doesn't matter, no one will know. That's not true. For you see, listen to me. You're a child of the King. You hear me? You're not the pauper's son. You're a child of the King, and He sees it all. Now listen to me. It doesn't matter what you do, He's going to continue to love you. But it matters what you do. It makes a difference. The highly favored one, an angel out of the very celestial side of heaven, said, I recognize you. You're Mary. You're that girl who lives in Galilee, who is highly favored with God. Friends, today I can't imagine what those words must have done in the life of Mary. I will tell you this. It says in another passage that when Jesus was born and the shepherds came and all of this was complete, Mary said that she kept these things and she pondered them in her heart. They were close to her. I'll tell you something. I believe Mary was like no other girl, woman that you would see, because she understood God's perfect and miraculous plan for her life. What a wonderful story. She was obedient to the Heavenly Father. She gave birth to Jesus. She raised him. She taught him. He grew. He waxed strong. He loved her. She never left the inner circle. She was as close or more close than any disciple that he ever had. She carried him to the grave, interceded with her own life on many occasions. Not just because that was her baby. But listen to me. I believe he was her Lord. She understood this is the Messiah. Today, whenever God begins to work in our lives and we realize just how important God truly is in our lives, and we realize the captured chains we have of sin upon us, the things that we can't undo, the things in our lives that when people ask us what would be a thing you would name in your life that would not be in God's life if he were in your shoes. Friends, listen, the list is long for me. I don't know how long it is for you. But I can think of several things that I do that God would not do. Several things that I struggle to not do that God would not do, that Jesus didn't do. Even though he was tested and tempted like as I am, he did it without sin. That's amazing. Doesn't mean he wasn't tempted. But it means he didn't sin. That struggle of sin is the secret to understanding the humility of being obedient and the Savior coming to pay a price for us that we really owe, that he doesn't owe, and he paid that price. And whenever I'm unwilling to live my life as God would have me to live, unwilling to say what Mary said, as the maidservant of the Lord, let it be so. As God's servant, no. God, I'm a Christian. I want to go to heaven. I'm a member of the church. I want to be baptized. And if someone were to not call me a Christian on my behavior, I would be angry. But no, I'm not going to do what you've asked me to do. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to do it unless you tell me very plainly, this is sin. It doesn't matter that I feel like it's wrong, that Scripture seems to point it's wrong. I'm trying to see how close to the edge I can get when Mary was trying to find where's the center. No matter where the edge is, I don't care where the edge is, where's the center? That's where I want to be, in the center of God's will as the maidservant. Let his will be done in my life. Verse 30, the angel said to her, don't be afraid. For you have found that favor with God. Mary's behavior, her life, was such that God had a plan for her, and that plan was coming to fruition. Mary, God created you for this purpose, and guess what? You have fulfilled what he needs, and now he's ready to manifest that thing in you. I wonder today what you would be if God had control of you and you didn't. Believe me, I have sat and looked in a mirror many a day and asked myself that very question. God, how different would my ministry be? How different would my life be? How different would my influence be? How different would my preaching be? How much more powerful would the Holy Spirit be in me? God, if I would be unwilling to say yes to sin and always say yes to you. Mary found favor because of her obedience. Now listen to me, don't misunderstand. We don't have to live perfect. We can't live perfect. Mary didn't live perfect. I don't believe Mary was sinless. Don't believe she was part of the deity. I don't believe she was sinless after that. But what I do believe is that she found herself in the right relationship. I don't think the words ever crossed Mary's lip that said, well, I know this isn't what God wants me to do, but you know what? It's my life. I'm going to live it. I know this is wrong. I know this is what Scripture says, but you know what? I'm unwilling to do that. I work too hard. It's my time. It's my life. It's my way. Other people are doing it. I don't think those words ever... compromising her faith never existed. You see, Mary understood God doesn't call us to be successful. He doesn't call us to be without sin. Here's what he calls us to. He calls us to be faithful. When I have sin, I repent. When I have opportunity, I obey. When I fail in that opportunity, I come back to him. I don't stay in my sin. I don't stay away. I come back to that relationship. Mary found favor with God, and he was able to complete in her that which was his plan. I can't help but wonder what God's plan might have been in my life. I've been in ministry since 1974. I've pastored Baptist churches. 1974, some of you weren't alive back then. Some of you were barely alive back then. And I wonder, in that stretch of over 40 years, wow, if I would have let him have his way in every situation, I wonder how different this would look. I don't have the answer to that, but I have the answer to this. Every place we go astray, God provided us a Savior. Amen? Merry Christmas. Right? That's what the grace was all about. That's what the baby was all about. That's what this wonderful Savior that Mary was going to send, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. Verse 35 says, now listen, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. I'll tell you something. We're about to lose one of the greatest saints in all of history, recent history that I know. Billy Graham is near his death. Billy Graham is the only man that I know who can walk into any stadium in the United States, fill the stadium, preach a mediocre message at best. Now, there was a day he was a go-getter. If you don't think so, just get on your internet and look up Billy Graham preaching in 1960. I don't care where, just look at it. You'll say, why, he's a raving lunatic. He's the only man I know that can walk in a stadium, preach a mediocre sermon, have to be helped to the platform and helped back to his seat, and literally thousands pour out of the aisles. You know why? Because he has been highly favored. He's been obedient. He's been faithful. He's fought the fight. He stayed in there. He didn't bend. He didn't break. He stood strong, was as obedient as he knew how to be, and God said, because of your faithfulness, you are highly favored in my sight, and the Holy Spirit empowered him, overshadowed him, and filled him with power and glory that he never understood. And the world has looked, me included. I have sat and listened to him many times. I have prayed with him, holding my hands. I have been in crusades where I was the head of the council of those that would come. And I watched this man, and there is nothing that I have ever seen like the embodiment of the Holy Spirit in his life. Glory to God, not to Billy Graham. Because it's the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm thankful. Oh, my goodness, am I thankful that he has been faithful. Because without him being faithful, we would have never seen the movement of God like I have never seen it. It's unbelievable what God does. He's just one example. There's a guy in China right now that's gonna pass all of those records. There was a guy in Korea a few years ago that had already had more converts than that put together. God empowers those people who surrender their lives to Him. Sometimes it's seen as magnificent things. Other times, it's just one little thing that leads to the glory and the honor of God. But listen to me, every time you look back and say, I don't know how that really happened, something supernatural happened. You see, what happened to Mary was the Holy Spirit engulfed her because she simply said, I surrender all to Him I freely give. And friends, today when you and I are willing to say to the Lord, Lord, I don't care what you do with me, your servant, Lord, your servant, let your will be done in me. Then God can begin to do the miraculous. This morning you may be here and you may have never invited Jesus into your heart. Let me tell you, the Bible says there's only one name under heaven whereby man shall be saved. Only one. And that name is Jesus. Today there's no question for me that if you want to go to heaven, you better have Jesus in your heart. Right? No matter what else you have in your heart, you better have Jesus in there. Because that's the only way you get in. If you're here this morning, you don't have Jesus in your heart, I want to invite you to ask Jesus in your heart. He's already died for you on the cross. He's already given the price. He's already cried out to God and all of heaven and all of earth and everything beneath. It is finished. It's done. The work's finished. I wrapped Christmas presents. I put them under the tree. Guess what? It's finished. They're there. There's only one thing left. And that's for the people who they belong to go get them and open them and look at them and receive them. That's all that's left. Jesus says it's finished. It's been given. It's been done. And today, if you're here and you don't know Him, He's ready to save you and forgive you and give you eternal life. And more than that, a life more abundantly. All you have to do is receive it. But if you're here today and you've already received eternal life, you're saying, Lord, the power's missing. Maybe nobody else knows it. God, I'm teaching Sunday school. I'm a deacon. I'm visiting. Everybody thinks I'm a great guy. But Lord, I know that the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't overshadow me. Friends, God wants you to know and to feel His presence and to ponder those things in your heart. This morning, there's only one way to get there. And that is to say as Mary did, to say as Jesus did, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. Lord, the handmaid, your servant, says, whatever, I will follow. Wherever you lead, I'll go. I wonder today, are you willing to say that? It's not a bargain chip. It means wherever I'll go. Let's pray. Father, what a marvelous story of this young woman, Mary. God, I thank you so much for her. Lord, just a child, 14, 15, 16, 12, just a child, Lord, early in her faith, who's struggling and trusting you and striving to be obedient. And God, you found favor in her because of her faithfulness to you. Oh God, help us to be faithful. Help us, Father, to do the things that we know to do because we love you, because we want your glory, because we want your name lifted above every name. And oh God, may you fill us with your power. Lord, I thank you this morning for your servant, Billy Graham. Lord, no preacher has influenced my life in understanding your power more than Dr. Graham. God, I thank you for allowing me to see him, to see his ministry, to shake his hand, to pray with him. Lord, I pray that your servants through history have been obedient. Oh God, hear my prayer this morning. Lord, that I would be that servant. Oh God, I pray today, do in me what I cannot fathom you to do. Use, overshadow, overpower me. Lord, I pray with your Holy Spirit. Lord, this is our prayer this morning. Fill our church with your presence and your power today, that we might be changed into the image of Jesus. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.